out of your mind.
Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is here. The man is here. He is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the great Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the water damage whisperer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, man of the hour. I'm Steve Isbitz. Lee D. Kepper's here. We're the guys at JoeBucksFan.com. Ira's the king of Tampa. How are you?
I got an opening statement, and I'm willing to take on all suggestions from our loyal listeners. You know I've been taking guitar lessons once a week, 30 minutes. I got an acoustic guitar, and, you know, I've been doing it for 3 or 4 months, and I did a recital with...
You raised the average age from 11 to 19.
I did do a recital with the Allman Brothers, Midnight Rider, because it only had one chord in it, and I could handle that. Well, anyway, Lee, a couple weeks ago, the guy brings in an electric guitar and says, try this on for size. Well, I strapped the thing over my shoulder, and within 10 seconds, I realized, gee, this thing's a lot more forgiving than the freaking acoustic guitar. Acoustic, you got to get your fingers perfect. With the electric, you don't. I know what you're going to say, Steve. Kaufman, Sage, they're trying to sell you an electric guitar for about $800, and that's all there is to it. But I'm holding out for Father's Day, Steve. I might have an electric guitar, a Les Paul, a little Fender Strat. Look out. Look out, people.
Nice. Well, you could probably get one for a few $100 for
sure. I bring one to one of these podcasts.
But you know what? Maybe we could write it. You could write an opening and play it. That would be great. You know what? I bet one of our listeners has a good electric guitar laying around that they'd be happy to donate.
You know what? That's outstanding.
To contribute to senior citizen arts. Yeah, for sure.
And then I got to get an amp. You got to get an amp if you have an electric guitar.
Yeah.
Maybe a Marshall. Maybe a Marshall stack. Like Cream used to stack them up.
You know what? Then we could book you to play tailgates. Yeah, you know, so people could pay on the website. They pay $200. Ira comes out and plays three.
$200.
Yeah, Ira comes out.
Sunshine of Your Love or something.
Ira plays three songs at your tailgate. You give him lunch.
And I got to get lunch.
And he takes pictures of everybody.
Yeah. I got to get lunch out of this.
So I wouldn't pay $200 to watch AC/DC. You're going to pay Ira $200?
Yeah, absolutely. What? Selfies, pictures, autographs.
Maybe I should play it at the Buck draft party. Yeah, I could bring it along over there.
I'm excited about your music career, Ira. Look, a lot of excitement right now. Bill Curry Ford is extending employee pricing for everybody. Employee pricing for all. It's right there on their website. And let's just say Bill Curry Ford takes great care of their employees. And the Ira Kaufman discount is in effect at Bill Curry Ford. Don't worry, drive Curry. BillCurryFord.com, 1 mile north of the stadium. Their service department's open on Sundays, Ira. Sundays now, yeah.
Nobody's open on a Sunday.
Exclusively for express-style appointments, so you're not going to get a new engine on a Sunday, but you can get your...
A Chinese restaurant isn't open on a Sunday. Unbelievable.
Yeah, they are.
Sure they are. You can get your transmission fluid done, all kinds of things. You can make an appointment at BillCurryFord.com, or you can do mobile service. They got a whole mobile crew that come out to your house. They'll bring you a loaner vehicle, whatever you need. Recall right on your property. It's unreal.
They're still offering those great deals on 24s, Steve?
They still have some left. Not as many as when we talked about them before, but you're on the money, Ira. 2024 is up to $20,000 off what's left. Check out all the vehicles in stock. BillCurryFord.com. I'm seeing the inventory right now. Ira stands at 423 vehicles.
And they want to buy your vehicle, right? They want to buy your vehicle.
Well, you got to take all those devil dog wrappers out. But, yeah, they want your vehicle, Ira. And they want everybody's vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. Sean Sullivan, he's the GM at Bill Curry Ford. He holds the Ira Kaufman discount, but he is our draft guru. He will be on the podcast. The plan is to have the annual mock draft, Joe Bucks fan, crazy all draft podcast on Monday night, April 21st, late at night. We'll be recording it, and it'll pop right away. Very excited about that.
He's got a hell of a track record, Steve, especially about buck picks. He can be right on the money sometimes with those buck picks.
Yeah, look, Sean's doing great. His breakdowns, position breakdowns are rolling on. You can find them at Best in Class, Apple Podcasts, in the archives at Joe Bucks Fan, Podbean, like Jelly Bean, Podbean, good stuff. Sage, we got a lot to talk about on this podcast. We have got a shift among Bucks fans. We've got prospects to talk about. We've got reality to talk about. And our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, they are elite. They are the best. 5-star Google reviews across the board. Family-owned business. They cover the whole Tampa Bay area, across the state. Storm season is coming. Get them in your plan. But more important, If you've got mold or you find water, you can't ignore this. You got to call for their free evaluation. It's free. They'll come out with the technology. They know everything what they're doing. And if you need them going forward, they're there for you to fight your insurance company. So many people on their team have experience on the other side of the business, on the insurance side.
Call them before you call your insurance company.
That's right. That's right. If your house is on fire, you call the fire department.
Speaking of which.
But bottom line is, you call them first. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan. If you need them, you'll get $500 off if you actually need to have an agreement with them to do your work. But they'll fight those insurance companies, and the insurance companies, they're tightening the noose more than ever. They don't want to pay you.
They don't want to pay.
They're not your friend. They'll work with you, but they're not your friend. Florida's Elite Restoration, they'll battle on your behalf, make sure you get every nickel, get everything restored. They're awesome. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Don't forget it. All right, Ira.
You said you're going to slap me around. Be kind, Steve.
Well, I got time for that. Lee's going to slap you around first. He's throwing haymakers here. He's missing.
What's on the docket, Steve? What's on the docket?
First, I wanted to ask you about this, since this is a guy you know. Todd Bowles told the Jets podcast, Bill Parcells still calls him up when he makes mistakes and texts him and sets him straight, and they move on. Parcells famously told NFL Network and, excuse me, NFL.com, your friend Judy Batista, a few years ago, that Bowles is one of his, quote, homeboys, and he obviously is. Bowles, you know, admitted this. The Jets weren't asking him about this. They were fishing about Aaron Glenn, who played for Parcells in Dallas as well as in New York. What do you think of that? You know, it's Parcells who calls him up and texts him and says, you screwed up. I'm wondering if Bruce Arians does the same thing, or they have a different kind of relationship. It's very interesting that you got a Hall of Fame coach who, best of our knowledge, is not senile. I've seen him lately. He's in Todd Bowles' ear.
If I had to bet, Lee, I'm thinking Parcells makes the phone call to Bowles, and Bowles maybe makes the phone call to Arians. That's the way I'm thinking, because certainly in the last 10 years, Bowles is a lot closer to Arians, you know, tied at the hip. The guy that succeeded Arians based on the recommendation of Arians, and Bowles ain't never going to forget that. You know, he may or may not have gotten the job without the express almost command of Arians, like, this is the way it's going to be.
Wasn't it pretty much all set up?
I guess.
Yeah.
But still, the Arians' retirement was a bit of a surprise.
Yes, it was.
At the time. I like the fact, Lee, I'm all for Parcells calling Bowles. Now, I wonder if he calls him after wins and says, yeah, nice job, Todd. But, Lee, you've seen all the NFL films and their classics of Parcells on the sideline with Phil Simms killing people. Might have torn into Lawrence Taylor a few times. Certainly tore into Belichick. Yeah. When he was coaching special teams and the coordinator. I put a lot of trust in Parcells. There's a reason that the guy's got a gold jacket. He was a towering figure. And he coached in the 80s. Lee, you love 80s NFC with Gibbs and Walsh.
Gibbs.
I mean, that's great stuff. And Parcells held his own.
Oh, yes, he did.
Certainly did. And he wouldn't be calling Bowles if he didn't respect Bowles.
If he didn't like him, yeah, exactly. You have brought those NFL films where Parcells is mic'd up and he's unloading on everybody.
Yeah.
My favorite was. And like, so one reason I like Parcells so much, because he was just like Bobby Knight. You know, they were former roommates, and they were just like each other. My favorite with Parcells, he walks up to some rookie, put his arm around his shoulder, Parcells with the Giants. He goes, son, you see that team over there? That team? It's wearing green? No, that's not Michigan State. That's Philadelphia. This is the NFL. I don't want to make you nervous. Don't freak out on me. But I just want you to know that's not Michigan State.
I could hear Bobby Knight saying that same kind of thing, Lee. I could just hear it. I like this idea.
You know what? You've heard, Ira, that Parcells still gets around. He bounces between Jersey and New York. He goes out to the races and all that.
Jupiter.
Can Todd Bowles just invite the guy out to talk to his coaches for a day or two? You know, come on, Todd. You think that's happened or no? I'm not talking about addressing the players. I don't expect Parcells at 83 years old to have the bark that he used to, and most of these players don't know who the hell he is.
You want him to talk to your coaches?
You want him to talk to your coaches.
I wonder if Bowles has issued that invitation. Now, Parcells lives in Jupiter, which is near West Palm, where Steve and I were last week. Suburb. And he's best friends with Ron Wolf, who also lives in Jupiter.
Neighbors, right?
And that's two Hall of Famers living in Jupiter. Everybody ends up in Florida. Well, you notice that? Everybody.
For good reason.
West Coast, the East Coast. Not a bad idea. You know what? I might float that to Todd Bowles.
Isn't Scotty Bowman in Sarasota, for example?
Scotty Bowman's in Sarasota. Goes to all the Lightning games.
All right, Ira. We're coming up on the draft. This podcast will be heard. We'll be 2 weeks from the draft. We're recording this Wednesday night. And you know what, Sage? Bucks fans are shifting. On our poll at JoeBucksFan.com, 2.5 weeks ago, they said inside linebacker, number one priority. Now, edge rusher, number one priority. So you think that we have influenced them? They've been influenced. Usually fans are pretty firm on their belief. Maybe they believe a little more in Lavonte David after hearing Todd Bowles say that this year I was pretty sure he was coming back.
I don't think they needed any convincing on LD, Steve.
You think they,
I think it's more a Servassier-Dennis.
You think they believe in Servassier-Dennis? Think they believe in the depth of Anthony Walker? You think it's just they believe?
I think that's what it is. Now, Lee, I've been known to make a few outrageous statements. So here goes another one. Lee, I got to bounce this off you. I'm glad you're sitting down.
Servassier-Dennis is going to be a Pro Bowler?
I don't think Light has to hit a home run in this draft. I don't think he needs to hit a home run. I'll take a double. I'll take a triple. I'll take a contributor.
A contributor in the first round?
A contributor. I like this roster so much, Lee, that if Reddick is what we think he might be, your corners don't have to be as good as they were without a decent pass rush.
That's one of the reasons I was going bananas for years that they needed for that very reason. That's just common sense. The more pressure you put on a quarterback, the better a secondary looks. If you don't get any pressure on a quarterback, these guys are the 32 best in the world at what they do. They will complete passes if you give them time.
And just look at Kirk Cousins, 2 games against the Bucks.
Oh.
Lee, am I crazy for saying Light doesn't have to hit home
run? Why do you hate Bucks fans bringing that up?
Steve, does Light have to hit home run?
Yes, you're damn right he's got to hit a home run. He hit a home run in last year's draft. That's why we have the team that we have now. That's why you like the roster so much.
Well, but if I like the roster so much, this is not the Carolina Panthers with 9 holes to fill.
Sage, I know that, but somebody's going to fade, right? Every buck isn't going to reach his zenith or whatever. You know, somebody's going to fade. Antoine Winfield Jr. might never be that Pro Bowler that Todd Bowles guaranteed he would be if he's healthy, that All-Pro. He guaranteed that at the owners' meetings. But my point is, Ira, I agree with you in this sense that Light is in a position to take the best player available. I don't think he
If he ever was.
If he ever was, it's now. They've got nice depth set up at different positions.
They're young.
Guys who might have to start if they don't find anybody better.
They're not old, Lee.
But, you know what? And even, I'll say it, as much as you think I'm crazy, if you take a stud receiver, if that's the best guy on your board, if the way this shakes out and you think he's a potential replacement for Evans.
But that won't be a home run in 2025.
You don't know that.
Maybe not.
But you don't know that. But, no, he's not going to be a starter. And but they would and should be able to adjust. Josh Grizzard should be able to say, well, if this guy is a stud rookie, ready to hit the ground running like most good receivers are, we'll use him for sure.
That's why, Lee, we're talking about the possibility, not necessarily in the first round, but in the first 2 days of the draft, the possibility of taking a third defensive tackle behind Veyer and Kansi.
Yeah.
Not crazy, Lee, not crazy.
You can make an argument for any position on the defense. Now, I got to hit you with something real quick, Ira. Steve brought this up. The Bucks rookie class last year. The vaunted PFF tribe.
Oh, my God.
Well, you might be saying,
I saw your story. I saw the story.
They decided, just for our listeners who didn't read this or hear about it, the PFF tribe decided to rank 1 through 32 the rookie draft classes last year. And the Bucks, who had significant impact from their rookies, they said was the number 10 rookie class.
That was a rank analysis. That's what that analysis was. It was rank. Are you out of your mind? The 10th best. It may not be number one. Lee, it's got to be top three. I mean, look at the talent. Barton was solid.
Well, look at the production.
Well,
the production
is
extraordinary.
Jack Irving by himself is an A+.
Yes.
On your draft class. Not to mention Tyke Smith and McMillan.
Yep.
What about McMillan?
8 touchdowns from a rookie receiver.
Crazy. Again, disrespectfully, disrespect for the franchise?
You could argue that, but I don't put any credit with what those clowns write. So it's like morons, you know, if some moron puts out something,
you're like, there's a moron. Steve, that's an embarrassing post.
All right, Sage, before we get into some players here.
Light's keeping receipts.
As embarrassing as Lavonte David only getting one Pro Bowl. Now, I don't know if you saw this. Aaron Schatz, a guy who I respect the hell out of.
Is that the one where it wins, he called it? Wins?
No, defeats. And I've never
heard that before.
Well, I brought this stat up a couple times, but I didn't have the specifics, and I mentioned it to you, but you know, when you say, people don't think Lavonte David is that good.
Right.
And I brought up this stat, but I didn't have the specifics. Now I got the specifics. Back up a little bit. Aaron Schatz People don't know who he is. He created DVOA. I know that means nothing, Ira, but for a lot of people out there, that's a significant stat. He created it. He used to run Football Outsiders, which was a far superior stat site than the PFF Tribe. Unfortunately, they got bought out and then they got folded. But Schatz knows his stuff. And there's a stat, he calls it a defeat stat.
I've never heard that, Lee. I've never heard it.
Basically, it's an impact stat. It tracks impact. Defeat stat is turnovers, forced turnovers, tackles for loss, and stops. And stops are when you prevent a team from converting on third or fourth down.
Now, this is status for individual players.
Individual
players. Player stat.
Levante David, 2013, he had like 58, I think.
I think that's right. J.J. Watt was maybe 1 year ahead of him, 1 year?
On a different year, he's the only guy to have more, and he only had one more.
He's the first ballot Hall of Famer.
In Levante David's first 10 years, no one had as many defeats as David, and it's not even close. We're talking he had 60 more than Watt, far more than Kuechly, far more than the guy at Washington who came through Seattle. I mean,
Bobby Wagner?
Yes. It is Levante David and it's everybody else. And Aaron Schatz, even first off, J.J. Watt said Levante David is criminally underrated.
He did.
And that's about a week and a half after Steve heard Luke Kuechly say, I feel sorry for Levante David. He's so overlooked. And Aaron Schatz said, when he was putting his stuff out the last couple days, he said, don't take us the wrong way, Ira. He wasn't talking about you.
Oh, I saw it, Lee. I saw it.
Aaron Schatz,
I would love to.
Aaron Schatz has volunteered to be Levante David's presenter if he ever is eligible for the Hall of Fame. Your thoughts, Ira?
How dare you?
Everybody wants my job, Steve. it's a voluntary job.
But I think he is so...
Would you put him on the class with Warren Sharp? Because I know you respect Warren Sharp.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just data,
yeah.
Ira. It's data. It's an interesting stat. Doesn't matter who it is.
To me,
stat's the stat. That's the beauty of it.
So my first line is that Levante David leads the league in defeats?
Yeah.
I'll be left out of the other room.
No, you say, look.
You guys will say, what'd you say?
You walk in there with a chart and you educate him.
To me, Ira, that stat, to me, measures impact.
That's eye-opening.
That's impact.
That's impact.
If you're getting a turnover, if you're getting a tackle for loss, if you're preventing a first down, that's impact. And Levante David obviously is making impacts.
I wish the guy had some more first-team All-Pros. Based on that, he should.
Once you talk about this a moment, you know, people go bananas. I understand why. That there is still a large sentiment among the Hall of Fame voters that a Pro Bowl nomination, is that the word?
Or birth.
Birth.
Yeah.
Holds weight.
That is diminishing. Voters, they're not putting any stock in what the fans are saying. And I'm with them.
Yeah, but the argument does not work, Ira, because Levante David... And shame on Bucks fans. Shame, shame, shame. He never ranks anywhere on the fan vote, which is one-third of the Pro Bowl. So you can't say, oh, who cares about the fan? They're not voting for him anyway. So the coaches aren't voting for him, the players aren't voting for him, and the fans aren't voting for him.
Isn't it an embarrassment indictment on the Pro Bowl that he never gets in?
Hey, I hope I'm still alive when Levante David's up for induction because it's probably going to be about 7 years from now.
You think he's going to play a couple more years?
Yeah,
huh?
I do, because I think the Bucks are going to be good this year. Have you heard me say that before? Not too often.
You know, this is the year.
I'm very bullish on this team.
Lee brought up Levante David. This is the year where fans have got to make a decision now to vote for him every day. You can vote as many times as you want.
Stuff the ballot box.
It's easier than ever. Why won't Bucks fans vote for this guy? Why doesn't
the same
Bucks fans vote?
He's criminally underrated.
I'm going to challenge Jason Light. Next time we get him on this podcast, probably in the summer, I'm going to challenge him. I want you voting on your Twitter account for Levante David every day. Otherwise, you're part of the problem, and I'm going to write it up.
And you want him ramping up the marketing department.
We ramp it up. Everybody
ramp it up.
Everybody on that team should be doing it. Let's get the whole town doing it. Let's get the Glazers putting up some money. Let's get them with interns with tablets walking around all the tailgates saying, come on, you got to vote right now for Levante David.
Is his face on the stadium?
Yes.
Is his mug on the stadium?
Yeah.
It's
right,
on the stadium.
Now,
so here's, lastly, Lee, this is the year we get him in the Pro Bowl, and then we all can talk about how important the Pro Bowl is. Ira, a lot of edge rushers out there, right? And the names are out there. Jalen Walker, Shamar Stewart, Mike Green, Ezeraku.
And Carter's going top three.
James Pierce.
Know.
Well, we're never going to get Abdul
right.
Carter.
James
There's a
Pierce,
lot of names.
Shamar Stewart.
A lot of names. Landon Jackson. People are all, you know, like crazy about all these names. Nick Skorton, who I like. This year, I haven't seen so much. One guy says he's going first round. Another guy says he's third round. I haven't seen that range with the edge rushers before. Don't know why that is. But my question to you is, it's always philosophical with me with you, Ira, because I want to know what goes on in that brain of yours. Does Jason Light have to self-scout himself to any degree? And this may be insulting.
The answer is yes.
This may be insulting to Jason Light. But does he when he looks at the options, does he have to factor in, look himself in the mirror and say, you know what? We're not great.
The way we've been doing it.
We're not great at drafting edge rushers. Other teams are great at it. It's not our best strength. Do I have to put in some sort of quotient that Jackie Davidson can figure out, some math thing?
The process hasn't worked. The process.
Do we have to change the way we approach things from a grading standpoint? Like, okay, we got all these grades on the edge rushers, but do we have to put in a variable that, you know, we're not very good at picking them?
I don't even think Light would argue that, Lee. I mean, the facts are the facts. He hasn't hit on them. Noah Spence, you know, going back a ways. They just gave up on Shoyinka. He's gone, Lee.
Chitty chitty bang bang.
He's gone. Logan Hall, I wouldn't necessarily call him an edge rusher.
No.
Lee, I want to make a point about edge rushers.
Wait a minute. No, you're not. Lee's
waffling. He's waffling.
Lee's got to answer this, and you got to answer this, too. Does Light have to say anywhere to himself, you know, I got all these corners graded here, and we're good at picking corners, but I guess so I got to change maybe.
And he's done well with wide receivers.
I got to consider that I'm not so good at this when I make a decision.
Yeah, they have to have that discussion. I'm sure they've already had it. It's a thorn in Light's side. And I've never heard him really try to say, you guys are wrong. You know, these guys got injured. The guy would have been a hell of a player. No, he doesn't say stuff like that, Lee. He owns up to his mistakes. He does. And Steve's point is it's in front of us, Lee. You can't argue with the facts. Now, before you weigh in, I want to say one thing about edge rushers. This is just me, Lee, and I'm not a scout. But you know what I'm looking at? I want a guy that is more than a speed rusher.
Yeah.
Because that ain't going to cut it on the next level.
You got to go through a guy once in a while.
You got to have moves.
Yeah.
You got to have counters.
And you got to be a little physical.
Yeah. You don't have to be Dwight Freeney with the great spin move. But, Lee, those are the guys that make it, I think, are guys where the offensive tackle doesn't know what the hell you're going to do on a certain play.
That and you can muscle up.
Otherwise, you're just steering them to the outside.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of looking at that.
John Zuck.
So what do you think about Light with the edge rushers?
It's not just Light. And what I mean by that is, and I've written this many, many times, the Bucs franchise historically has been terrible at it, almost as terrible as quarterbacks.
They took a guy named Ron Holmes once. I think he was the 8th pick in the draft. That was a bum.
Wasn't that a porn star?
Ron Holmes. No. Ron Holmes.
This week we celebrated the 50th anniversary of Leroy Salmon being drafted. The very first pick in Tampa Bay Buccaneers history.
And arguably the greatest player.
I
would say he was.
Since then, they've yet to draft an all-pro defensive end.
Very nice.
Simeon Rice was a free agent. JPP and Shaq were free agents. JPP was a trade. Shaq was a free agent. This franchise, just as so many people know, have not drafted a franchise quarterback and re-signed him to a second contract. So many people know that about the Bucs. They overlook that this franchise's history with defensive ends.
And Diaby hasn't shown enough that we can say that he's an outlier. We can't say that yet. We'll see what he does this year.
Book's still out in Yaya. I like him. He shows something, but right now, to me, he's a number two guy. To me, he's Leonard Floyd. If Leonard Floyd plays with a stud on the other side, he's pretty good.
He always gets 8.5 sacks, Leonard Floyd.
Yeah.
Always.
But if he doesn't have a stud on the other side, he gets swallowed up real easy. Yaya's kind of that way to me so far. Just like in baseball, there are certain franchises, they can't develop a pitcher to save their lives. Flip the coin, another franchise, they can't develop hitters to save their life. For whatever reason, the DNA of this franchise, they cannot identify a defensive end. Certainly not a first-round guy. I don't know why that is. I don't know if they have to gut the scouting department, but there's something about the DNA of this franchise.
So this precedes Light. It precedes Light.
Oh, yes. Precedes Light, precedes Dominic, precedes McKay, all the way back to the 70s, with the exception of the very first guy they ever drafted, Leroy Salmon.
Facts are the facts, Steve.
Well, the facts are the facts, but sometimes they're not always the facts. And I say that, and this is an argument for another day. You calling Leroy Salmon the greatest Buccaneer ever, I'll say what I say to a lot of people when I've had this discussion before. He played 100 fewer games than Derrick Brooks. 100. That's a whole career. Less than Derrick Brooks. So
injuries.
Let me leave it at that. So I don't think that's fair. But on the edge rusher front, you're looking for a guy with moves. You're looking for total package, moves over speed. Todd Bowles has said that they kind of shifted their focus to the bigger guys on the edge, right? Look at Yaya was somebody they wanted. He loves playing Anthony Nelson out there, a guy who keeps getting contracts. Nelson's 6'7", 265, and he's not even fat. And so those guys have been bigger. And this came up during a broadcast. I forget which announcer said.
So where's Reddick fit in?
Well, Reddick is a little different. He's more of an athlete, a little bit smaller. Maybe they're shifting more in that direction. Maybe, you know, maybe Bowles is thinking, let me get more back to a Shaq type, an undersized type guy.
Of course, the difference is Reddick's got a track record. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. He's got a track record.
But you might say also Bowles might be thinking, you know, Reddick, not known for playing the run. He can do it. But maybe we want to balance that out. I really think the Bucks are looking at edge rusher, Ira, and thinking, you know what? Is Reddick going to be here long term?
Exactly.
That's a really difficult question.
Very smartly,
so,
Steve. Very
you know,
smart.
And I've said to some fans, look, Todd Bowles doesn't think he's getting fired after this year.
No.
Okay? A lot of fans wish that will happen, but he's thinking long term. Jason Light's always thinking long term because that's part of his job. And I think they look at edge rusher, hopefully, that finally maybe they've decided that we got to load up, we got to load up, we got to load up. We don't know what's going to happen next year.
Little Eagles plan, little Eagles South. Cool. You know how Light is with Roseman, you know, tight.
And Reddick's flaky. And I say that not as a knock, but he had some contract issues in Philly.
You're on fire today, Steve.
He had some issues with the Jets. So let's say Reddick comes out this year. Let's say everything's awesome and he has 13.5 sacks. Well, he's going to command a fortune. And the Bucks, shit, they had a line in the sand that they weren't going to pay Chris Godwin. And he's the favorite son.
So if they don't draft another guy, they're stuck. So he's got all the leverage.
There's going to be a line in the sand for Reddick if they weren't going to pay Godwin what the and match his offer from the Patriots. So I really think they're thinking that way a lot.
That's a very smart argument, Steve.
Well, to back up what Steve says, there's all kinds of data out there, including just recent experience with the Bucks. Once an edge rusher hits 30, that's it. And they only need to look at JPP and Shaq.
That could be a factor for Vea in a year or two. It could be.
Well, he's on defensive end. But I see what you're getting at.
Yeah, yeah.
Edge rush, I can't argue with that. Defensive tackle, I can't argue with that.
It's more fun when Lee argues.
I don't think we can argue with adding another edge rusher, Lee. I can't.
I think if I got to take tooth serum, whoever is the best player on the board at 19, if they don't go corner, edge rusher or tackle, whoever's rated higher, what might factor in if this defensive tackle class is that deep, well, that means they can get a decent one in round two.
A throwaway line from Bowles, Steve. I don't know if you caught it at the breakfast in Palm Beach.
Pass the eggs.
Where I was hammering around Reddick and what he could mean to the cornerback position and how well Todd would play his secondary if he's got a better pass rush. And at the end I go, it all starts up front, right, Todd? He goes, it sure does. So my point is, a strong pass rush can impact a corner a lot more than a really good corner can impact how many sacks you're gonna get.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Speaking of corner,
I hate to agree with you, Steve. Speaking
of corner, Lee says he thinks Jamel Dean's gone if the Bucks draft a first round corner. You know, he's making a ton of money, and that's Lee's guess is he's out of here.
Unless he redoes his contract, of course.
Yeah, unless he takes a lot less money, which, frankly, if they really want to cut him, if they draft, let's say they draft Will Johnson out of Michigan, tremendous talent, ball skills, ball hawk, only a couple of injury concerns. But nothing crazy if you really think about it. And let's say they draft him. Okay. So, in my mind, if Lee's right, Jamel Dean is on the trade block before the next round. They're trying to get a fifth round pick for him.
You get a five. You get a five.
They're trying to get a fifth round pick from somebody who needed a corner and couldn't find one.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't think he's coming back. I don't think he's coming back, Lee. Now, I might say that to back up my ragging on him for the past 2 months, that he is what he is. He's okay. I don't think okay cuts it anymore. I don't think it cuts it with the Glazers. And I don't think it cuts it with Bowles.
Well, the Glazers are the key element here.
I'm going to issue a guarantee on this podcast. Are you ready? You ready for me to put my
that I'm going to be a Joe Bucks fan for the next 10 years?
My junior mints on the table? Well, I hope so, Ira. Where are you going? What are you going to do? You're going to watch TV? You're going to play the guitar? You know, what do you do?
I could be on stage at Ruth Deckard within 6 months. All right, go ahead, Steve.
All right. First, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there for a vehicle. Everybody shops online. BillCurryFord.com. Transparent pricing. You won't find big signs that say, call Max at the dealership for the actual price. Only between 2 and 4 when you can get the special jelly donut discount. No, they're going to give you the price. See all the great offers going on there. Employee pricing right now.
It's a heck of a showroom, too, Steve. Heck of a showroom.
It is, and you get lunch there.
And you get lunch,
lunch there in the showroom. And you know what? I'm going to wager that if you are there shopping for a vehicle and you're doing your thing, you're legitimate. If you ask Sean Sullivan to buy you a sandwich, he'll do it.
I believe
he'll
so.
He'll do it. Absolutely. So there you go.
Ask for the Ira Kaufman discount on the turkey.
Ask for the Ira Kaufman mustard. Ira likes his good mustard.
I got my picture on the pack.
Storm season around the corner, Ira.
You know, Josh has a great crew.
It's crazy. I had damage at my house, and thankfully I knew who to call. And I didn't need Florida's Elite Restoration, but I was prepared.
And Sean's used them a couple of times.
Sean's used them twice, unfortunately. Poor guy.
Yep.
Horrible, but don't forget them. Florida'sElitereStoration.com, 24/7, and for all your disasters. My guarantee, leave, forget about my guarantee. You ready for this guarantee? I guarantee that Jamel Dean will be on the roster on opening day. Todd Bowles is going to be drooling over the depth that he so desperately craves. And it's not my money, it's the Glazers' money. And the Bucks have plenty of salary cap room. They're going to find a way to keep Dean and be as deep as they need to be there.
Under the current contract, Steven?
If Dean won't play ball, I still think he's going to be there, but I don't know what the price is going to be. So there you go.
Well, yeah, I might rather see Izian out there at this point. I mean,
wow, you're really down on Dean.
Damn, I was down on Dean.
Well, I kind of like Izian. I don't mind him.
I do too, but I don't think he's in the same league as Dean. You know what my problem with
as
Dean
a
is?
Third corner, as a third corner, if they draft somebody,
he played a little outside for like 10 snaps, but he's not Jamel Dean.
All right,
especially if Dean's healthy. All right, Lee's got defensive tackle on his mind.
Defensive tackle, defensive end. Steve wrote about Ohio State's Jack Sawyer. I wouldn't say I was triggered, but I was like,
triggered.
Steve, you left out the biggest story out of your story. The exploits Steve wrote about Jack Sawyer. You missed the key element.
Is he dating somebody important?
Even better. He, last year in college football, had the Rondé Barber Play of the Year.
You mean like the Rondé pick against the Eagles?
Very similar. Jack Sawyer, playoff, semifinal, against Texas. A little over 2 minutes to go, Texas has the ball on the Ohio State 7-yard line. Texas scores a touchdown. Who knows what happens? Quinn Ewers goes back to pass.
Not a bad quarterback.
Not bad, but I don't know if I'd even spend a third-round pick on him. College quarterback, not a bad quarterback. Quinn Ewers drops back to pass. Jack Sawyer breaks free. He levels Ewers. He pops the ball loose. He scoops it up. He scores. 90-yard fumble return on a sack. Game over. Ohio State goes to the national championship. That was the Rondé Barber play of Ohio State.
Blindside hit?
No. What I can't forget is him popping the ball loose, scooping the ball up, scoring 90
yards.
Nobody
caught up to him.
Nobody caught up with him. Ohio State goes to the national championship game. They win. Playoff game.
That's a Rondé Barber moment.
Jack Sawyer breaking through in the fourth quarter, leveling, pick your hated quarterback, Jalen Hurts. Leveling Jalen Hurts, scooping up the ball, scoring 90 yards, and the Bucks go to the Super Bowl. How awesome would that be?
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
My problem, though, with Jack Sawyer, and it's really not a problem, just when I think of Ohio State defenders, and even I know Jack Sawyer's defensive end, I somehow get the picture of Andy Katzenmoyer, of Animal Laryngitis, of A.J. Hawk, that guys were dynamite in college, and he did nothing in the pros.
Spielman was good. Lee Spielman.
Yeah, but I didn't mention Spielman. The guys I come to mind, A.J. Hawk, who really did nothing in the NFL. Animal Laryngitis, he played okay with the Rams. Katzenmoyer was nothing. That, for whatever reason, maybe that's racist, for lack of a better word. That's unfair to Sawyer. But that's when I see Sawyer play, that's what I just picture Katzenmoyer.
We got to run Sawyer past up. Past our boy Sean Sullivan. See what he says.
Ira, do you think there's a mindset with Todd Bowles? You have said many times he's making the defensive calls in this draft to a degree.
To a strong degree.
You've said he's making the first round pick. We didn't go deeper than that, but he's made a strong degree. You think there's a mindset of Todd Bowles? I've thought about this a lot, Ira. Think about it in the shower. Think, think about it as I'm driving my...
I don't even want to think about what you just said, Steve.
As I drive my...
depends who's with him.
Bill Curry Ford vehicle down the street. Do you think Todd Bowles says to Jason Light something to the effect of, get me the edge rusher in the first round, get me this guy, get me the safety in the first round, get me Jahad Campbell if he's there, but I'll take the corner in the second round. I'll coach him up. We were able to coach up Dean. We were able to coach up Davis. I can do it. I want one of these two guys in the second round. I'm good with that.
I think that's a legitimate scenario. I said to Bowles directly, and Lee, you remember me, I said it after 3-4 weeks because the Bucks guys, you remember the Bucks after like 2 or 3 games, they had like 3 sacks. You know, it looked like they were on pace to finish with 17 sacks. And I said on this podcast, Steve, they're going to end up with 45 sacks. That's what Bowles does. But, Lee, the bigger point, that doesn't mean the pressure's consistent. They need consistent pressure. And I go back to that game in Atlanta that your man Isbeth sent me to. And to sit there and watch Kirk Cousins carve them up, Lee, the way he did, and not move him off that spot when
nauseous.
He's immobile.
Nauseous.
Lee, he was immobile before his injury in 2023. That didn't help his mobility. So he can't get out of the pocket. And he's sitting there playing pitch and catch, and the Bucks soft secondary defense, Lee. I think that's the film that burns in Bowles' mind when he was going over all those games. I think that's the one. 509 yards by Kirk Cousins. We can't allow that to happen again, and it's not going to happen again. And along those lines, Steve, pressure, pressure, pressure. That's what's on Bowles' mind. And a corner, but the corner can wait till round two. I could see it.
You know, I'm curious. We'll talk to Sean Sullivan about it. I know this guy was on his cornerbacks breakdown that you can find, Best in Class, Apple Podcasts, Joe Bucks fan. But Azarie Thomas, Florida State. Now, he, of the corners, we know Bowles likes long. This guy's the longest guy in the top group. Massive wingspan.
Like a Zion?
6'2". And, you know, a lot better experience than Zion McCollum, but 6'2", like 195. Young, though. 20 years old still. And
could be there in round two.
Very well, it very much is considered a second round corner. I kind of just feel like Bowles might say he loves. We know he loves Jamel Dean. Maybe he's thinking, you know what? I want to give Dean a chance. Let him compete. If we cut him before the 53-man roster is issued, we don't have to pay him. Let him compete. Maybe he can get back to where he was. I love the guy. He's dedicated to his body. We draft this guy in the second round. Let him hash it out. I don't know. I'm thinking
how
more.
How can you love the guy when you're trying to address 7 interceptions for a season and he doesn't have any ball skills? Do you love the guy?
I don't know if I can go that far.
Man, I love how Ira just has put his foot down. No more Jamel Dean.
He never gets any picks. Lee?
Well, you know, once again, you know me and picks. I'll take fundamental football over picks any day of the week.
I think he's 0-2 on that.
Well, I don't think Dean's a bad cornerback.
I think he's okay.
My issue is he can't stay on the field, and it drives me nuts that you're paying a guy good money, and he's supposed to be, well, he's not anymore, but he's supposed to be your number one corner, and when they're in the playoffs, where is he in the fourth quarter? Hey, he's on the bench.
Lee, Steve says that Bowles says he's no longer the 1A corner.
He said 1B. That's what he said. I asked him. He said he's 1B. Now, one of the best things for fans to look at, if they really want, it was great insight by the unnamed and always mysterious Joe Bucks fan, photographer, videographer. It's on YouTube.
That guy's got a knack of finding things.
He's got a knack of pissing off the Bucks, too.
It's on YouTube, and you just search Jamel Dean and Richard Sherman. 2 seasons ago, in that game, if you remember, Jamel Dean had a chance at the 3-yard line. He jumped a route.
Which game?
Against Buffalo. In Buffalo, Bucks lost by 5, I believe. Jamel Dean had a broke on a ball. He had a shot for a pick six of 98-yard pick six. Instead of trying to catch it, he batted the ball down, and it was incomplete. Nice play, except he didn't go for the pick, and it was right there for him. After the game, our video guy caught Richard Sherman, who's good friends with Dean, teammates, and Sherman always talks about how much he loves Dean, even on his podcast that I listen to. He goes up, and you see the video. You got to turn the volume up. You'll hear Richard Sherman talk to him about that play and say, "You already got the money." Meaning you already got paid the big contract. When you get paid the big contract, that's when you go make plays because you can't lose your money. Go play ball. Make the damn play.
I love Richard Sherman.
And Dean nods and whatever, but Dean just doesn't. He hasn't found that ball hawk gene.
Is that why Bowles talks about the killer instinct, and maybe Dean just doesn't have that?
Seems like it.
He had a pick last year, right, Steve? I think it was his first one in like 30 games.
Yeah. Now, Ira, about...
No, I'm serious.
I know, but still, it's funny.
About the killer instinct that we talked a lot about on your last podcast and on the Joe Bucks Fan Show on WDAE, for those wondering, we'll be on at 2 o'clock this Saturday, always changing times. Don't want to get anybody convinced that it's going to be all the same time because we're moving around. But your boy, Rondé Barber, was talking to Forbes magazine.
That was a little bit about secondary play.
And he was asked by the Forbes reporter, there's a new Hall of Fame golf tournament.
Yes.
The Hall of Fame sponsoring this Legends tournament out in South Florida. It was actually just this past weekend.
Rondé's not going to pass up a golf tournament.
No, and he's a big part of it. And so Rondé Barber was asked about this killer instinct, and he explained. He let it loose. I was very proud of Rondé. He just got candid with the guy. And we had speculated, was he talking about the offense with the killer instinct? You guys were more defense. I was talking offense. Rondé Barber, he was all over it. He's like saying, look, if you're in the fourth quarter, you need the ball back. You need to get the ball back for your offense. And, quote, you need to get off the field in three damn downs or get a takeaway or something, create something. They really haven't shown that consistency over the years. And he said they don't take the ball away very often, which is annoying. And he said, especially from a defensive play caller situation, blah, blah, blah. You got to enforce your will. The killer instinct of enforcing your will, it's happening against the Bucks. So Rondé Barber basically called them soft.
He also backed up me and Lee that they were talking
about
the defense.
He did.
Now Rondé was a turnover machine, Lee, yeah. So you got to remember where he's coming from. He scored all those non-offensive touchdowns that they call it. He's like third in NFL history.
Oh, really?
Yeah, behind Deion Sanders, and Deion had a couple as a return guy,
yep.
And Rondé wasn't a return guy. So, and of course, exemplified by the play against Philly in the NFC Championship game. You know, the game that comes to mind, what Rondé was saying, get the hell off the field and give this offense.
He's so right.
Was the Washington playoff.
Yes.
Finally.
They couldn't get off the field.
I still can't get over only having seven
possessions.
That is very low.
It's going to be on your tombstone, Iris.
Seven possessions.
Seven possessions.
That must have drove Bowles crazy.
In parentheses, Jamel Dean.
Lee, can you imagine Bowles looking at the tape of that game and saying, we can't get off the field. Get off the damn field.
That's why, and I can't remember who said this. Someone,
see what Washington's third down was against the Bucks.
Dane Brugler, the guy.
They call that the Beast or something?
It is. Have you ever read that thing?
No.
Oh, my gosh. It's exhaustive.
Who, is this guy like an Aaron Schatz type?
No, he's a draft analyst, and he just works his ass off. He puts out this annual that's just incredible. I mean, the guys that the Bucks sign, undrafted free agents from East Cornfield State, they'll have a profile of him. He's just unbelievable, this guy. Well, anyway, he was on Mina Kimes' podcast, and he said about the Bucks, would anybody be surprised if they drafted defense 1, 2, 3, maybe 4? And I agree with him. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm with you on that.
I wouldn't be
surprised. Why do they call it the Beast, Lee?
Because it's such a beast. It's big. Well, why don't you call their customer service? I want the Beast.
So it's like it's like 10,000 words or something?
It's monstrous.
They'll say, hold on, we'll get her on the phone.
Yeah, it's monstrous.
Steve, what'd you find? Third downs, Washington in the playoff game. 8 for 15?
You got it.
First of all, 15 is an incredibly large number. 15 third downs they were facing, Washington. That means the Bucks are playing pretty good defense on first and second down to keep pushing them into third downs. And, Lee, then they make more than half of them, 8 third downs. No wonder the Bucks only had 7 possessions. 2 games stick out when Bowles was going over the season. 2 games. The first game against Atlanta, which was absolutely a disaster, and they still might have won it if Bucky Irving didn't fumble at the end. Right, Steve? That was a big fumble. One of the rare miscues by Bucky Irving all season. I mean, the guy was fabulous. I can't knock him. The guy, and the defensive guy made a great play. It was the safety on Atlanta.
Great force
fumble, great play. And the Washington playoff game. You know, you could say, well, the Bucks only scored 20 points. Well, they only had 7 possessions. They scored on 4 of them. Not too shabby. With an offense like that, give them opportunities, Steve. Mayfield will come through. He'll come through.
All right, Sage, what else is on your mind?
Well, you didn't bring many donuts tonight. That's always a factor.
Not good for you this late, Ira. Come on.
Well, the next time we meet, which won't be long, we will have Jason Light at the podium. And let me say it before you do. We ain't going to get much out of those 20 minutes.
I don't even know what kind of probing is. It's kind of silly because You know, he's just not going to say anything. If there's a message he wants to get out there, he'll get it out. But I don't really think he's going to say anything different. Lee, do you think he's going to say anything different?
He'll sweat. He'll look at the ceiling.
You're right.
He'll
right.
stammer.
He'll drink some water. And he's going to say it's a good draft for interior defensive linemen.
Which that everybody knows.
That doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to make another prediction, Ira. I don't even think Jason's going to sweat. I think he's just going to, who cares? You know?
He always sweats when he goes up to the podium.
He's like under
well, no... Like you said, he's under no...
there's no pressure.
No pressure.
Casual. I mean, and it's a little early, too. You know, there's 2 weeks to the draft. Usually it's a little pinched closer. But
I think this 9.5 over-under, I think that's a little light on the Bucks.
I wonder if the NFL is perturbed that they have that the Bucks are bringing light out at noon, the precise time the NFL is bringing out Daniel Jeremiah.
I don't know if they think about those things, Lee. Hasn't Jeremiah talked already?
Yeah, and he's going to talk a couple more times,
too. He's going to talk a couple more times. Looking forward to the draft.
All right, Sage, we've got more to get to. We're excited about that coming up this week. Remember to subscribe to the podcast at all the wherever you're listening. If you can subscribe, do it. And I have a review to read. You want me to read a review for you?
Well, this is the 401st review.
Well, I don't know, but there was...
yeah, I'd like to hear it.
We have some newer reviews on the Podbean app, and I know these always bring you some comfort.
They don't mention a coconut donut on this thing, do they?
Well...
you got to look at it first.
All right. I'll read the last 5 reviews. Okay, you ready for this?
3 of them will be bitching about me.
Yeah, we got to get the comfort.
Okay, so you know how Lee always says people hate him, and like you just said, right on cue.
Yeah.
We didn't practice this. Here's the 5 reviews ago. Kate 34684 writes, "Lee, you are not hated on this podcast! ! You are the best part."
Whoa!
There you go.
Whoa!
How many beers does the guy have? Thank you for the compliment.
Isn't that your niece?
All right. Guys, I love your show, but this is 2025. Get a YouTube channel. You'd probably get three times as many views and listens.
Nope.
That's your bailiwick over there, Steve. I got nothing to do with it.
You know what? YouTube oversaturated, and we still have tremendous numbers. And the industry says most podcasts, majority, are still listened to in the traditional way.
You know, you hear me talk about this all the time, Ira. Video, and this may be a surprise to some people, video, i.e. YouTube, is a visual medium. You don't want me on there. You don't want me on video. Trust me, people. You don't want
now,
me
wait
on
a minute.
There.
You just got a compliment on one of the
and,
comments.
And that's
though,
very,
really.
And I'm very thankful about that, and that's very kind of them, but they've obviously never seen me. Now, once upon a time, Steve and I were playing with this. I actually came up with this concept, and we were maybe 2 or 3 steps away from doing it. We were going to do sort of a video podcast, and I was going to have one of the lovely Hooters calendar girls on.
Count me in.
And the first thing I was going to say, listen to me, look at her.
Well, you ain't George Clooney. I understand that. That's understood.
Well, hey, look, 90% of the people on TV, if you will, on YouTube, they don't belong on television.
There
nobody wants to look at them. So we'll leave it at that. The next podcast from Ray Gonzalez, Ira, 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 Shaq Barrett was developed by the Broncos. He couldn't see the field because he was behind Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware.
That's a lot of nonsense. He was not developed by the Broncos. Give the Bucks credit.
Because he couldn't get down the field enough? Is that what you're...
Give the Bucks credit.
Hey, the scowl on your face.
All right, Ira. Hey,
if they were that high on him, they wouldn't let him hit free agency.
Ira's mad. Look at him.
Yeah. He's the scowl off on his face, man. I haven't seen you. Last time I saw that was you were expecting a coconut donut from Nisbets.
Next, we've got Clark Lawless, 11 days ago, says, "You are the best Bucks podcast with local roots. Thank you for your work, all of you, including Lee."
Well, that's probably a little comment about Lee always self-deprecating.
Yeah, that's a nod to Lee
nod.
Slapping himself around. And the last review.
Oh, I think you had 5 of them.
Yeah, this is the fifth one.
So we had Lee, you're not hated. You're the best part. We had get a YouTube show. Ira, Shaq Barrett was developed by the Broncos. We got best podcast. We love your work, including Lee. And the last one from Silver Paper 3 days ago says, Lee is kind of whiny. And that's the only...
Yeah, I'm whiny.
So you take the bad with the good.
But that's accurate. I'm a whiner. I want excellence. I'm like Vince Lombardi. We're going to strive for perfection. And along the way, we'll catch excellence. That's what I want.
Fantastic.
And I'm a whiner as a result.
Yeah, right now you're catching heckling.
Ira's favorite part about this is that nobody mentioned me.
Steve, you're an integral part of you're 1/3 of this podcast.
I'm not comment worthy. All right, Ira, we're out of here. We'll be back very soon with comments from Jason Light, more on some of these players and positions. We're trying to dive into what the Bucks are really thinking and the approach here, and we're going to try to figure it out all the way up until draft day.
Absolutely.